Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to be talking about the Kingdom of God. And I'm trying to get all my buttons pushed here. The topic that we were discussing in the last show was this idea of ranchers and what they own and what they don't own. And the reason we're talking about that is because of this Clive Bundy thing. And the reason we're talking about the Clive Bundy thing is because the same mistakes that he has made and his ancestors have made way in the past, you have made to the nth degree. And there's a lot of misinformation out there going around that people do not understand about these things, the principles of them, which is interesting enough that it's covered extensively in the Bible. The warnings are there over and over and over and over again in the Bible, in the Old Testament and the New Testament. What agreements do you have with unbelievers? Now, what's an unbeliever? Someone who believes in forcing their neighbor to contribute to their welfare. That's an unbeliever. You see, because to believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ is to believe in John the Baptist. And John the Baptist said that if you have two coats and your neighbor has none, share. But Herod says, if you don't have a coat, I'll take one away from your neighbor and give it to you, whether he has an extra coat or not. I'll just take it away from your neighbor and I'll give it to you. All you have to do is sign here. Sign up for dinner, and I'll give you a free lunch. I'll do it by exercising authority over you. That was the Corban of the Pharisees. Your sacrifice was not free will offerings anymore. They were forced by institutions of government. Judea was a government. Christ was a government. But Christ did not force the contributions of the people. Peter did not force the contributions of the people. Paul did not force the contributions of the people. Christians do not force their neighbor to contribute to their welfare. If you are a part of any system that forces your neighbor to contribute to your welfare, you are not following Christ. Got it? Now that's really hard. I mean, that's it in a nutshell, right there. If you are dependent upon benefactors who exercise authority one over the other to provide your social welfare from public education to public health, you are not a Christian. I don't care what you say you believe in. Those who believe in Christ keep his commandments, and you're not. Now, that's actually good news. No matter if the answer is yes or no, that's good news. Because with that news, you can say, oh my God, I have made an error in my judgment. I have gone and become a laborer of pig farmers in a faraway land out of the presence of God. And I need to repent and turn around and head back. Just that thought is the beginning of salvation. But I say the beginning of salvation because you actually have to turn around and head back. Thinking about it is not a doer. And you must be a doer of the word, and the doers of the word turn around and head back. And then, before you even can do anything, God will run out to meet you. But when he meets you, that doesn't mean you get to stop doing. You have to keep heading back. He will know what's really on your heart. You can't fake this. You have to become that doer of the word. You don't have to do anything to meet that salvation, but you got to be headed back. You can't be sitting there gorging yourselves at the temple and table of men who exercise authority one over the other. Cannot be doing that. That's evil. That's a snare. Now, you can't go cold turkey because nobody's out there hardly setting the table of the Lord. But that's what you have to do, and that's what the network is all about. That's why you need to not just sit here and listen to your radio, but actually join with others understanding this message. And it's going to take sacrifice, and it's going to take repentance, and it's going to take striving, because that's why Christ said strive. You're just going to have to do it. Your standard of living is going to change anyway. Might as well let it start. You know, when that guy left the pig farmer, his standard of living changed. The prodigal son, his standard of living changed. It was probably a pretty hard trip back home. And you can kind of figure on that. But that's up to you. If you want to turn around and go the other way, that's what repentance is. So we were talking about Clive Bundy, and we were talking about ranchers in the last show. And in the last show, you know, we were pointing out that ranchers had a property right in water and grazing out here in the high deserts and even in the like the Fremont National Forest, which is nearest to us, and many other forests, when those lands were inculcated into a corporate government called the federal government, when they made these national parks or national forests and BLM grounds. They didn't take away the property rights of those who own the grazing and water rights. They simply are going to manage the rest of the land around there. They, and the grazing and water rights a lot of times had to do with numbers of cattle. You know, if you grazed, you know, 100 cows, you had a right to graze 100 cows because you had that right before the federal government showed up. Just the same as some people actually had fenced off pieces of parcels of land in the midst of the Forest Service, and they're still sitting up there, many of them. They've squeezed some of the people out. Some of the people actually went and they said, you know, especially on BLM land, they said, well, I have this land over here and I can't use it. I will trade you BLM land that's next to my property and you can have that. And they liked that because it made the BLM land all one block and you didn't have to cross it in order to get to your land, because now that you had BLM land that was adjacent to you. So they traded those things. But the real change took place when the government came with tax dollars they had taken from your neighbors, you know, in Connecticut and New Jersey and all these other places. They had taken tax monies from them, either through tariffs or excise taxes. And they had this extra money in their coffers, although they may have borrowed some of it. I don't know. I'd have to look at the books at that time. But anyway, they came and they said, we'll buy fencing and put it up. So we divide off your grazes so you don't have to contend with your neighbor and his grazing practices, because guys were fudging on their rights all the time. They'd sneak up extra cows and they'd be eating your graze, you know, or they'd, like I said before, you know, bring in bulls that were not quality bulls, you know, that were like dying. Couldn't breed anything, but it didn't matter because your neighbor's bulls will breed your cows, and so you still succeed, but it doesn't cost you as much. Selfishness. People are tired of contending with selfishness. They weren't going to rebuke their neighbor, because if they were Christians, they would. If they were Christians, they would go to this particular neighbor that I'm thinking of right now. I know it was several different guys who did this. Because I know every rancher for miles and miles, because I used to work for all of them at different times in different ways. But anyway, they should have gone to him and said, hey, look at this bull. Look at this bull. Look at this bull. You got to bring in better quality bulls. You know, and all the neighbors needed to shun them if they didn't. And so that they would realize that if I want help from my neighbor, I need to do right by my neighbor. And if they loved their neighbor, they would do this, because as many as I love, I also rebuke. That's the way it works. But, you know, this confrontation, you know, and it's such a hassle, and, you know, it takes courage, you know, and so they didn't do it. And the Forest Service said, hey, we'll help. We're here from the government. We're here to help. So we'll put up fences so you don't have to contend with your neighbor. And you just maintain the fences. And we'll build water holes. And then they came in with permits. We'll do these extra things and we'll take that money. You know, they started off just giving away. But then they say, well, now we're going to have to charge a little fee, but we'll take all that money that we collect in fees and we'll put it towards improvements. And so they do it. They actually did this with firewood, and I was here during this period. There's always been a common access to the Forest Service to kill dead and down. Remember the old saying, hook and crook? Well, that actually comes from New England. It used to be that if you had, you know, if you were a renter on property, you couldn't cut the trees because the trees had monetary value. But by hook or crook, you could go and break off branches that were dead on the trees. See, like the conifers will have dead branches low down. And you could use that for firewood. You had a free right by hook or crook to break off branches and use that for firewood. You couldn't cut the trees because you're just renting. And that's where that saying comes from. Well, there had always been a right in the forest around here that you could go and cut up dead and down trees that were not commercially viable for your home firewood. Otherwise, you'd freeze. So nobody had to get a permit or anything. It was just a right of the community to go up into the Forest Service, because we had done it before there was a Forest Service, and we cut firewood to heat our houses. And people had always done this. And they were doing it before Pinchot and Theodore Roosevelt signed the National Forest Service Act, or National Forest Acts, that one night when he made all these national forests. So they already had a property right to the dead and down, because they had already been doing it for years. Well, a number of years ago, I was here, living here at the time, they said, we're now going to ask you to get a permit to go into the woods and cut dead and down. It's not going to cost you anything. It's free. But we just want to know who's up there in case, you know, people get lost. And we want to make sure people aren't doing it commercially and all this stuff. And so it's free. It doesn't cost you anything. So everybody, you know, not everybody, but some people started getting the permit. And they got in the habit of getting the permit. And no, there was no fine if you didn't get it because there was no money to pay. Then all of a sudden they said, oh, we need to charge something for this service. And some areas we don't want you cutting in because that's already under a commercial contract. And so we're going to give you these maps and all these things and these safety tips and a little packet and a little plastic bag. And we'll just charge you $2 a year. And you can get all the firewood you want for your house and for your family. $2, that's all. Well, it's up to $40 now. Actually, I think it's might be. No, I think it's still $40 to get that. And they got all kinds of rules on it. Like the person you're cutting the firewood for has to be there. So, you know, we have some old people in the community. I mean, like 90 years old. And we cut their firewood for them. You know, there's a couple of widows. And we just cut their firewood for them and deliver it to them. They have to go get the permit because we are only allowed so much cordage now. So they have to go and pay the $40 to get the permit. That used to be $2, used to be free, that used to not be required. That was based on a right to go and cut dead and down. And they just creep it in like that. And before you know it, now, I actually know of a guy whose dad works for the Forest Service. He worked for the Forest Service during the summer. And he went up to get firewood, and he had a permit, but he forgot to put it in the truck when he drove up. And he came down with his firewood, and they stopped him, and he says, well, I have the permit. I got it on such and such a day. You can call up and but I forgot to bring it with me. Well, the rule says that you have to carry the permit with you. So they confiscated his truck and trailer on the side of the road. He'd paid for it. He just forgot to put it in the truck. And they confiscated it. And he eventually got it back without the firewood. I don't know who got the firewood. One of the Forest Service employees, I guess, or the Forest Service, or whatever. But they just confiscated it. I mean, this is like stuff that you get out of when there used to be kings and queens ruling over the people. You know, I mean, it's getting worse and worse. And they use the rule book to implement injustice. You know, it wasn't a crime that he forgot the paperwork. And they could check it easily. They knew who he was. He wasn't robbing anything. You know, the paper blew out of the car while he was cutting firewood and he didn't see it. He loses his truck and trailer. What happened about that? Crazy. Crazy. Unjust. But anyway, this is how they creep in. Is they just keep upping the ante. And before you know it, what was a right is now a privilege. Now, there are many other things that they're doing in the background to allow this to take place. I'm not saying that this is illegal, but if you don't use a right, you lose a right. You use it or lose it. And this is what's taking place over a period of time. It's got worse and worse and worse. And what happened with Bundy? He owned the water rights. You know, there's a rule that if you own... If there's a piece of ground under the BLM control that somebody owns a property right in, it's not public lands because it's multiple use. And the BLM has some use of the property, but they don't have other uses of the property. So it's not public lands. There's some use of it that might be public, you know, but there's some use of it that's not. Now, he doesn't have a permit to go four-wheeling over the property or whatever. I mean, he can to take care of his cows, but he can't open it up for recreational purposes. He doesn't have a property right in the recreational purposes. He has a right to the water rights and grazing rights, and he can do what he can do in order to maintain those rights. That's what he had. And he had those lawfully, but things have changed. And that's understanding how they've changed will help you understand why you don't have rights anymore. And see, this is where his confusion is. He still thinks that Nevada is a sovereign state. You know, and I've done videos on this and other shows on this. Nevada's not a sovereign state. Oregon's not a sovereign state. Texas is not a sovereign state. We like to use those same words, but it's just not so. And any good judge who comes in and listens to your case will take cognitive notice of the fact that even though you're calling it a sovereign state, it's not a sovereign state. Now, he brings up some very interesting points about who has what rights and all this stuff, but nobody really wants to address the real issues here. Not in the depth they need to address it. And it's catching the sheriff in between. On this deal. A lot of people are confused. It is absolutely clear, and I followed the Bundy thing for years and years and years and years and years. I mean, you're just hearing about it, most of you. But this has been ongoing for a long time, even when his father had it before him. The BLM has been trying to squeeze every rancher off that property for a long time. You know, there used to be 52 ranchers, I think it was, that were grazing on that property, and Bundy's the last one to go. The BLM bought out many of the others. I'm not going to say all because I'm not sure, but they offered them money to buy out their right. Does that sound like a permittee that you're just not going to renew their contract? They bought out the others, but Bundy wouldn't sell. So there's a way in which the BLM should have contended with this. They should have condemned his water rights and his grazing rights through the process of government condemnation. And they can do that because his former lawful title is now only a legal title. But that's another whole realm of discussion. But they should have openly condemned it and gone to court and proved that they needed to condemn his water rights and his grazing rights for a public interest. They might have a difficulty in doing that, which is why they didn't pursue that avenue. Instead, they, through regulation, created greater and greater burdens on him and his family of taking care of their cows. They have been fighting this and fighting this and fighting this. See, he actually questioned their authority, and they want to come down on him with both feet. Now, there's a lot of other things extenuating this and feeding the flames. There's other, there may be other interests, and there's talk of, some solar power with people like Reed, and then there's talk of oil underneath the property, and of course, if there is, they will need to be fracking of that oil, which means they will need all the water rights. Of course, the oil companies could buy those water rights from him, but the BLM, they could buy them from the BLM too, and that would be millions and millions and millions of dollars. And so there's probably corruption going on here that's feeding this bureaucracy. But it's one of those situations where they've just kind of got out of hand and they don't want to back down. You think they backed down the other day and they had some kind of a victory? Everybody there at that event on the BLM side was getting a paycheck while they were there. They were getting overtime. They were making money. That's why they were there. Almost everybody on the other side were not getting a paycheck. And this is what was kind of interesting from the feedback that I got. Some firsthand feedback, some I've heard in news reports, rare news reports, but is that there were actually busloads of people that came from as far away as New Jersey there in support of the Bundys, supposedly. And nobody seems to know who they are. They're not a part of any grazing community or anything like that. But they come and they talk to the locals with one attitude. But when they talk to the media, they're very militant. And, I would be very suspect of that. Because it's back to that, grease hacker story we talked about in the last show. I would be very suspect of that. What's going on here? And I'm very concerned for the Bundy family and for some of those other ranchers, because there's some strange deals going on here. But anyway, the point is one of the chief arguments that Bundy has concerning his grazing rights is he has no contract with the federal government. And what he's talking about, and this is what the original... If you follow that story that in the last show, and we talked about it a little bit in this show, with how they brought in this grazing control in the Forest Service here in Fremont and all over the country, is they offered a benefit for free. But there is no free lunch. And people ate at that table, even though the Bible tells you to put a knife to your throat and not eat at that table. And what they thought would have been for their welfare has become a snare. And they've literally, through use and lack of use, have lost a property right. And so what he's trying to do is, like IBT, Indianapolis Baptist Temple, they're trying to roll back to a state where they originally had freedom. A lot of Americans are trying to do this with their constitutional rights claims and all this stuff. They want to roll back. We want to restore constitutional order. And they don't understand what's happened. And I, as a minister of Christ, have to be very concerned with the fact that you may be endangering yourselves. Like Mr. Bundy and many of those well-intentioned ranchers who think they have a case. And they have a part of a case. But they don't have the whole picture. But they are in danger of losing everything, including their lives, if they are not careful. And they're not careful, and that's why they're in the trouble. And you're not careful because you're in the same trouble, but you just don't know it. Some of you actually are beginning to know it. So what is the pieces of the puzzle that people are missing here? This is going to be really important in the days ahead, to find out what pieces of the puzzle people are missing so that you can get on the right path. That is the path that Christ laid out. is the way. It is a way in which to govern yourself so that you will be free souls under God. But you haven't followed that way. You've gone another way. And because of that, you've gone out of the way, and you have gone back and become entangled again in the elements of the world, in the bondage of the world, and in the ways of Egypt, in the ways of Babylon. But that's good news to know that. It's not depressing to know. It's good because now you can change. You are not sovereign individuals. You are not sovereign states. You are not a sovereign people. You are not a free people. You are back in bondage again. You are merchandise. They own you. They own your cattle. They own your land. They own your children. But that's good to know because now you can do something about it. You can't just change it with your own power. But under your own power, you can change your way and go the other way. It's all about direction. If you go the other way, then not only will you be set free, you will be ready for freedom. And we'll talk more about this when we come back to Keys of the Kingdom.
My name is Mark and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hisholychurch.org, I realised that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean and how is this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hisholychurch.org and discover what it truly means to love God and your neighbour as much as yourself. Join the Living Network at hisholychurch.org.
Have you ever looked at the things happening in the world today and felt that something just wasn't right, but couldn't put your finger on it? Have you ever heard the phrase, "God bless America," and wondered to yourself, does he really? Or have you ever looked at the government's policies on things such as abortion or same-sex marriage and asked yourself, how could they? Or where are all the Christians voicing their outrage? These are hard questions that many people today ask themselves. But along with those hard questions come some very hard answers. Answers that you may never heard before, but nonetheless will answer these and other questions you may have. So if you're looking for answers, join us at hisholychurch.org. It's not what you might think, and it will open the heart and mind to a whole other world that you never even knew existed. It did for me and many others. I know it will for you as well. So join us as we seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness at hisholychurch.org.
The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
Things seem to be going wrong in the world today. Every aspect of our lives seems to be under attack sometimes. Many struggle to make sense out of it. What is really going on? Identifying the problem is critical to any solution. Many people claim to have answers. But what is the truth? What works? What has worked in the past? History does repeat itself, and you must learn from it. You have choices. We cannot change the course of history, but we may change our role in it. All roads lead to Rome. All roads lead to the kingdom of God. The question is, which way are you going? Join us to make sense out of it all for an iconoclastic look at the world yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and hear about the keys of the kingdom.
So we're going to now give you the rest of the story, and I hope that maybe we could send this to Bundy so that he would actually understand a little bit about the problem. We won't go in, we just don't have enough time to go into all this thing about states' rights and all this stuff. Yeah, he did have a grazing right in the land and water rights in the land. And the BLM comes along and says that they are going to help manage this land. But now they can manage the parts that that Bundy didn't have a right to. You see, because he didn't own all the land. He just had certain rights upon the land. So they're managing the parts that he did not have a right to. And that's very important to understand. But because these are multiple use, and therefore they're going to be overlapping in the uses of these different things, they came in offering some kind of benefit of management to help protect his part as well as their own part that they're managing, the rights they had in the land. This is multiple use. It's like neighbors, you know, like that common grazing rights that we talked about in the forest. Okay, they started charging fees, which were to go to maintaining and improving the properties, the rights, the land, to the benefit of both, because some of those benefits would help both, probably mostly fencing. I didn't look at the specific contracts yet, but usually that's what it had to do with the open range, is they would fence it off, and this would keep other cows from coming in and keep cows from wandering off too far. And they would supply the fencing and build them, and then you maintain them. I mean, we were building fence on the BLM lands years ago. And still to this day, I can take you out and I'll show you fences that a cow has never seen. Because they would just build a fence, you know. Oh, we need a fence here. I can show you one. I can see it out my window. That it's fencing off on a butte, no cows. I have never, ever seen a cow up there that doesn't fence anything. You walk right around the fence because it doesn't even go all the way. But they had the money appropriated, so they just built another fence. It doesn't follow a property line. It doesn't divide grazes, nothing. But they put it down. They see if you don't use it, you lose it. So they're always appropriating more and more money. I can just tell you horror stories of how you could have saved the government money, but they don't want to save money. They want to spend it. So every year they come up with plans to spend money that are maybe absolutely stupid, write up all kinds of reasons why it's a good idea. Nobody debates it because everybody wants more money coming into their agency, because more money means more money. And so they squander it. I have told some of those stories, but we won't go into that, or we won't have time to finish this. But Here, to quote somebody from thousands of years ago, the masses continue with an appetite for benefits and the habit of receiving them by way of rule of force and violence. The people, having grown accustomed to feed at the expense of others and to depend for their livelihood on the property of others, institute the rule of violence. And now, uniting their forces, massacre, banish, and plunder until they degenerate again into a perfect savages and find once more a master and a monarch. This is what's happening. They let somebody come in and build fences. They let somebody come in and educate their children. They let somebody come in and guarantee their social security. They let somebody come in and guarantee their health care and their Medicare and their Medicaid. They let them come in and they ate at those tables, and they have lost their rights. This is why the courts don't actually, and we talked about it before, they don't actually have to condemn his property. He has already condemned himself. And I don't know whether he homeschools or whether he collects Social Security or any of those things. I don't know, but I suspect he does. If he does, he has a contract with the federal government. If he has a Social Security number, he also has a federal employee identification number, because your Social Security number is your federal employee identification number. Your labor doesn't belong to you anymore. It belongs to them. And they can take 10%, 20%, 30%, 40%, 50%, and on up. And it's, you have those things because you didn't see a problem with eating at the table of men who exercise authority one over the other, because your churches have not been preaching what Jesus said. And so therefore, he has lost his lawful right to the water. He only had a legal right to the water. So the legal right to the water is controlled in equity. So in an equitable court, the judge can be cognizable of these things and decide against him. But still, there is a place for civil disobedience, and I don't condemn the man. If there wasn't civil disobedience, all blacks would still be riding on the back of the bus, right? I mean, that woman has been praised. I can't remember her name, Rose or something, but anyway, she was praised for refusing to ride in the back of the bus, which was illegal. It was a violation of the law. There were rules on the books that you had to ride in the back of the bus if you were a black person in that state. So she broke the law. She's a criminal. But there is precedent for violation of the law when the law is totally unjust, unfair, unrighteous. Legal, but not righteous. But the problem is it also requires thousands of people backing her up. And you don't have that. Which brings me to another topic that I wanted to cover today. What have you done about Justina? Have you cared about Justina? Have you thought about Justina? Have you done anything about Justina? You know who Justina is? There's a little girl who's imprisoned in a torture chamber run by the Massachusetts Children's Services. I mean, she's literally being tortured. She's being abused. There isn't any question about it. And they're getting away with it in broad daylight. It's as if the devil wants to see, can we get away with this? And it can. It's getting away with it. I'm amazed. And, you know, how many hundreds of people showed up at the Bundy Ranch, all the way from New Jersey, some of them? How many people showed up at the protests concerning Justina? First time, I think it was about 10, 12 people. Next time, I think the last time I heard, was about 50 people. When you read the details of that case, and you can do it at our preparingyou.com website, and you read the details of this, why aren't thousands of people showing up? I know people in Massachusetts, and they're still sending out emails about smart meters. But did they show up at Justina's? Are they listening to this? Are they doing anything about it? Are they gathering hundreds of people? Are they going door to door saying, we need to free this girl, and then start freeing all the other people? You know how many people I could start naming you off that their parental rights of the parents for no apparent reason were terminated, and those people are now kept in mental institutions or have been lobotomized by chemicals? She's being fed experimental chemicals to deal with a problem that may not even exist. It may exist, but there may be also a mitochondria problem. I don't have much faith in either remedy, but the fact is she was ice skating when the doctors in Connecticut were taking care of her, and she's in a wheelchair when the doctors in Massachusetts are taking care of her. I should say the doctors in Connecticut and her parents. She was out ice skating, but when the doctors in Massachusetts without her parents are taking care of her, and she feels she is being tortured and imprisoned and kept away from church and kept away from the people she loves and cares about and seem to care about her, and they're getting away with it day after day after day, and you call yourselves Christians. Who are you kidding? Where's the righteousness? Are you seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness? We don't have to. We're saved. We accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, so we're saved. Are you crazy? Yep, you're crazy. You're insane. You are under a strong delusion. You need to wake up. If you don't start spending some of your day thinking about somebody else in a righteous way that strengthens the poor, you're doomed. You're condemned. Everything you have will be taken away from you. Everything you have will be taken away from you. That's the law of God's kingdom, which rules everything. Use it or lose it. God gave you rights. Rights are responsibilities. But, so back to that, Bundy and all those ranchers and the ranchers up here not really paying attention. I'm sure there were some that objected to this and said, I don't think we ought to let them in here. I mean, I remember the head medicine man at the Indian reservation near here was talking to us about the federal government once, and he says, don't trust them. And really, it's not the federal government. I don't want to pick on the poor federal government. They're just under strong delusion too. But they are people who exercise authority, and they're necessary. That, you know, God's made this so clear. I don't know why people are missing it. You're allowed to institute these governments of power and authority. You're allowed to reject God, but not with impunity. God told Samuel that when the voice of the people wanted to elect somebody who could exercise authority, he said, go ahead, let them do it. But he described it as, they have rejected me. You see, that's why the BLM is taking Mundy's property away from him. They're taking and taking and taking and taking and taking. Go read Samuel 8, 1 Samuel 8. He's going to take and take and take and take and take and take and take. So Mr. Bundy does have a contract. And just like Indianapolis Baptist Temple, now the minister tried to, you know, escape from his contracts. And I'm not saying he did it all in an unrighteous sort of way. Because, you know, I've met with him, I've sat with him, I rode with him. God sent me there, and, you know, I'm hitchhiking to the church from the train station, and guess who picks me up miles away from the church? Craig Dixon. Sunday morning. Sun's not even hardly up yet. Because it was like 4 a.m. when I arrived there. So I got a little map. I didn't have a smartphone in those days, and tried to figure out where's the church at and when does the buses run. And there were no buses. It was Sunday. And so I just started walking, carrying my books and my little satchel, and putting out the thumb, because the buses didn't come hardly at all. And so instead of waiting at the bus station, I'd walk from one bus stop to the next. I'd look way down, see no bus coming, so I'd walk to the next. And somebody stopped and picked me up. It was Greg Dixon, who is the pastor of the Indianapolis Baptist Temple. He's a nice guy, but he had some bad advice. But he understood some things. He was trying to, you know, save his church and to return it to becoming a first century church. And he got some bad advice. We can tell you where those mistakes were. We can tell you what you need to do. But we're not going to give them to you if you come on the group. Like I told in the last show, I talked about ministers of record. That's people who have congregations, where the congregations have chosen to come together in free assemblies to help take care of one another. Start that process of learning to think about one another as much as they think about themselves. Start the walk back to serving in their Father's house. Start to becoming the social welfare of a system of Corbin based on free will offerings. That's what they are agreeing to when they write it down on a piece of linen paper saying, this is where we want to go. This is, we want to head back to our Father's house. Start becoming what the early Christians were, that first century church. So they put themselves down as going that way, and they start working in that direction, and they recognize a minister, and they give him a covering, and we say, okay, we recognize that you're doing this. Let's see what you can do. Let's see if you can start contributing to the welfare of one another and even casting your bread upon the waters to another congregation in need. Or helping missionaries go out and form congregations of record. We say congregations of testimony is another way to say it. Where they're actually doing what Christ said. Forming that society, operating by faith, hope, and charity. So that no man has to go to benefactors who exercise authority one over the other to have their daily bread. No man has to do that. But you have to do that now because the church is dead. The modern church doesn't do these things. They're just there to make you feel good. So if you want to go the way Christ was going, the way the early church and the first century church did, like IBT, you have to start forming your church that way. In the case of IBT, because it had incorporated, they needed to let that corporation die. They needed to move their ministers over to a new organization and have a board of directors eventually, as they see the new organization forming and functioning as the first century church, which they didn't quite do. They did some of those things, and I commend them for their effort. But they missed it. And when I ended up sitting down with him in his office and everything after our long conversation, you know, he took me to a motel. And then by the time we got there, he turned around and took me back to the church. And I stayed at the church because I didn't even know who I was talking to, but I was telling him stuff. And then finally he introduced himself as the pastor of the church. But there were their Judases amongst them. Some of them, somebody just brought up one of the names of one of the guys who was betraying him. And he's out there saying, well, what do you think of this guy? Well, I'll tell you what I know of him. And I won't mention any names. But the point is that the church is your salvation, not the Constitution. And you go read our, or listen to our audios on contracts, constitutions, and Contracts, Covenants, and Constitutions, CCC series. I mix those up all the time. But anyway, the point is that in the Constitution, you have a right to contract, and the government will not infringe on that. And Mr. Bundy has a contract with the federal government, and he has, in other aspects of his life, as an entity of the federal government, eaten at that table and consumed those deceitful meats. And so have you. So have all of you, very few of you, almost nobody. But that's okay. That's the good news. Because now you know the problem. Now you can turn around and set the table of the Lord. But you have to come together. And so we have our ministers of record in our congregations, and our ministers of record have had very interesting discussions in the last couple of days. They're really kind of on fire with the concept. And now we're moving on to another area. But our PCMs, our personal contact ministers, are not seeing this. Although all of our ministers of record are also personal contact ministers. But the personal contact ministers aren't seeing it because many of the personal contact ministers aren't even doing their job. Many are, but many aren't. What is their job? Help connect people so that those people can find their way back to their Father's house and form congregations of record. But we have people that are personal contact ministers who come on the network, or they have to be elected by the people. They have no power, but they have a responsibility to start connecting the people and start working with the people so that they can come together and form congregations and become a part of a living network. And yet they don't do that because they thought, well, if I join and I get elected, I'll get a couple of guys to elect me, and then I'll get access to more information. And of course you do. But we explain how that works. And they didn't even bother reading with attentiveness the steps they had to take. Because they really weren't interested in being of service as a personal contact minister, helping people gather together to form the alternative society, the intentional alternative society, the permaculture and community of society that Christ was teaching people how to form, and John the Baptist and Paul. That first century church requires that you change, and will change you in that process. They didn't do that. And then they said, well, I'm not getting any new information. Well, you're not doing the job. You're not real. You thought because you filled out a piece of paper that you became a PCM, a personal contact minister. No, you have to be a doer of your words. You're saying you want to do a job, but you're not doing it. So it doesn't count. Now, those who are doing it, many of them have become ministers of record or been called upon to become trustees, and therefore they're on those groups, and a trustee is simply another form of minister. He's given a certain job. He's an elder of the community, and he's given a certain job. We have all kinds of jobs for people to do, but we don't trust them because they're not walking the walk. They're just listening on the radio or getting emails. You see, this is why Christ constantly emphasized being a doer of the word. You get some opportunity, you get some talent, you use it or you lose it. Same thing in the world. And see, evil depends upon you not using it. So they say, oh, don't you worry about this. We'll take care of this. We'll build these fences. We'll divide the people. Divide and conquer. That's what they did with the cattlemen's associations in many places. We'll come in and put fences between you so you don't have to look to one another. You don't have to deal with one another. You just deal with us. We'll take care of you. We got to tear down those fences that they've put between us. We have to start caring about one another. Now we can't go, physically tear down the fences, but I mean spiritually tear down the fences by actually following the ways of Christ. And until you do that, nobody can help you. And until you do that, peace on your house, and may God be with you. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.